Well, when Marina asked me if I would celebrate this Mass for the anniversary of the death of Monsignor Giussani, I said, well, I'd be happy to do so, but I don't know a whole lot about Communion and Liberation or Monsignor Giussani, and my knowledge is that I have a positive kind of understanding, feeling about it, because I know that Pope Benedict was a big fan, and my sense when I hear about Communion and Liberation and Monsignor Giussani is positive. But beyond that, like, I don't really know a whole lot. So I knew that, okay, fortunately Marina gave me some books and stuff to look at, and time got away from me a little bit, and I realized I haven't read anything really of Giussani, and I've got to go talk to a bunch of people who are incredibly devoted to this man who I only know tangentially. Like, I am maybe not the best person for this. But as I was coming across the social hall to come up here tonight, and they're having an event in the social hall, and one person saw me and asked where I was going. I said, well, I've got this Mass for the anniversary of the death of Monsignor Giussani. He's like, oh, Communion and Liberation. That's great. It's the only really solidly Catholic group in the church where you can still smoke. I'm like, okay. So that gives me something to go off of, I suppose. I was actually flipping through a little book of Giussani's writings before this, and interestingly, I came across one that he wrote about St. Peter, and particularly St. Peter's encounter with Jesus on the shore of the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection, the famous, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And I thought, well, you know, today's gospel is also about Peter. And the one thing that I wrote down from my my meeting with Marina was a sense of his theology, something I wanted to explore more, was just the idea of that the faith is personal, and it's about personal encounter. I thought, well, there is something of Giussani's theology that I think very much fits with Peter in our readings today, and at least the brief writings that I read. Because you see, Peter has a very personal, deep faith that is a faith based on encounter with Jesus. It's not an abstract thing for him. It's based on very much personal experience. And I think that is something that fits very deeply with my own kind of theology as a lived out experience of our walk with Jesus. In today's gospel, Jesus asks his disciples the question, who do people say that I am? It's not a very personal question. And so they answer it in a sort of public opinion poll sort of way. Well, some people, you know, we don't know who, but some people say that you're John the Baptist. Other people, though, you know, two out of three disciples of Jesus believe that you are, you know, Elijah. But others say that you're, you know, the prophet or one of the prophets. Okay, that's all kind of, you know, at a distance. And people might well ask us about our Catholic faith and say, well, tell me about being Catholic. And we might well say, well, some people say, you know, and we quote part of the catechism that, well, and we can quote theology that describes the church as, well, this is the church founded by Jesus upon the rock of St. Peter, and it was codified at the Council of Nicaea in 325, and then eventually through other councils, and, you know, kind of give the lineage of, you know, 23 ecumenical councils in the history of the church. Or we could go through moral theological tradition and speak very theologically. We could even speak historically about Jesus and, like, well, he was a real man who was, you know, born 4 years before Christ, whatever that means, you know, and we could say that, well, he actually lived and died as a historic person and died under Pontius Pilate and give lots of information. But that seems to me to fall a little bit into the same kind of response that the apostles had when Jesus asked, who do people say that I am? You know, I think if people ask us, well, tell me about this Jesus that you believe in, we might well respond with some of these things. Well, this is what the church says, or this is what other people say. But then Jesus turns to his apostles and asks the much more personal question, one that can only be based perhaps on personal experience, and that is, but who do you say that I am? Tonight, As I said, I don't know much personally about the life of Jasani. So maybe this homily will be a little bit more in the spirit of something he would say, perhaps if he were preaching, which is dangerous, but this personal experience, this personal contact with Jesus, that the message of Jesus is not just theology and what other people say, even if they're great theologians in the church, it's got to come down to what do we say? That Jesus asks each one of us the same thing he would ask Peter and the apostles, who do you say that I am? And certainly we're grounded in solid theology in our response. But honestly, if we're going to share our faith with other people, and if our own faith is really going to have meaning, it has to be our lived personal experience of who Jesus is. Peter doesn't get his response from a textbook or from an opinion poll. No one has mentioned the fact that Jesus would be the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christos. And yet Peter is able to boldly say what is a very personal, lived out experience for him. He's not Elijah. He's not John the Baptist. He's not in these things. You are the Christ. You are the Mashiach. You are the anointed, the Holy One of God. No one has claimed that yet. But Peter, through his lived personal experience of being with Jesus, is able to put into words what perhaps the other apostles were even thinking. But Peter names it and says it. You are the Christ. What do we say when Jesus asks us, you know, who do you say that I am? Well, it's got to be even deeper for us, brothers and sisters, than it is for Peter to be able to say, you are the Christ, because that is almost too distant for us today. It's a word full of meaning for the Jewish followers of Jesus, but what does it really mean for us today to say that we are followers of Jesus? That's where it gets deeply personal. Because for each of us, we can name the doctrines, we can say, yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, but we also need to be able to say, Jesus is my friend who was there for me when I was alone, abandoned, when I was afraid. Think of the beautiful Psalms that speak of God, to be able to say, from the depth of the pit, God reached down and drew me out. Now that's personal. We need that kind of relationship with Jesus, with our God, to be able to make it personal. Who do you say that I am? You are the one that when I lost my mom, my dad, when they died, and I thought nothing would come for me, you were there, Lord. You gave me hope. You comforted me. When I was abandoned and alone and I maybe lost friends because of a situation where I had to choose and I lost friends, God, you were there. You were my friend. Personal experiences of God. How much we as Christians need to be able to tell the story over and over of Jesus as Messiah, yes, but having died and risen from the dead, and be able to say that that's personal to us, to say with the early apostles, we have seen the Lord. We talk a lot about evangelization here at St. Michael's and spreading this gospel, that we would be missionary disciples. The truth is, if we're going to go spread the faith, there's a time to certainly take out our catechisms and our Bibles and go through things. But the biggest thing that spreads the faith is sharing our own personal witness. What does all this mean for you personally? That's what's going to attract other people to this. Someone who sees you, sees your life, and maybe maybe doesn't see anything religious necessarily even behind it, but sees that you are happy, you are motivated. There is a joy, a peace that comes through your life such that people will say, what is that? How do I get that? What is your secret? And there, we've got to give them more than the catechism. There you give them the personal story, your testimony. Why is it that you follow this Jesus? I had a strange but amazing kind of encounter with this just a couple weeks ago. I was teaching RCIA, and I'm used to all the questions that converts will raise and love explaining the faith. And it's normally some technical details of the Mass, the sacraments, doctrine, something like that. But we had actually a Muslim man who actually came to the parish and came to the new member welcome on the weekend, and someone told him about RCIA, and he said, I want to learn more about this Christianity stuff. And we just kind of take for granted, I think, that people in the United States, everyone basically knows the story of Jesus, even if they are Muslim. But I was in the middle of teaching, and this Muslim man raised his hand. I had been talking about the sacrifice of Jesus and how the Mass is the representation of the sacrifice of Jesus. He raises his hand. He asked me, how did this Jesus die? I thought, wow. I could have at that moment just said, well, he was crucified. And, you know, look at the cross on the wall. And then move on, you know, with RCIA. But I thought, wow, here is someone who has actually never heard the story before. But here's an opportunity also for me, it hit me, I get to tell this man for the first time the incredibly astounding story of Jesus Christ. And just how amazing it is in our mind to be able to say, well, there was a man who was God, who was crucified, that's how he died. He was dead for 3 days and then rose again and was seen by his apostles, and then 500 people at once. And to tell that story for the first time to someone who had never heard it before, it was an incredible experience for me. Because I don't get to tell people the story for the first time. And then I realized just how personal that story has to be for each one of us. How astounded we should be to rehear that story. How much we kind of take for granted. Oh yeah, God became one of us, and we killed him, you know, and he died. And then he rose again, and, you know, and we're Christians. That story is amazing. It's the greatest story ever told, and we just get desensitized to it, I think. And we can do that, I think, with our entire faith journey, with our entire story. It can become so habitual and desensitized that we simply go on living out the repetition of our Catholic life as just kind of an old routine that we're in. I think we need to get in touch then, again, with the way that this story and the person of Jesus touches us deeply personally. That chapter I read from Jasani's writings on St. Peter, I mentioned, was from his encounter on the seashore after the resurrection. If ever there was a personal encounter, this was it. That Peter, of course, the last time he saw Jesus, had just denied 3 times that he even knew him. You talk about personal. Just that little bit in the gospel where it says, and Jesus looked at Peter. There's no words there, but Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. That was the last time he saw Jesus. And then here they are after the resurrection on the seashore. And Peter would certainly be wondering, what is he going to ask me? You know, what now? I mean, Peter's great. He was so excited that Jesus is there that he forgets all about it and just jumps out of the boat into the Sea of Galilee and swims ashore. I love Peter. He is so emotional and just impetuous and passionate. Good for him. So he's like, there's Jesus. I got to get there. But then when he gets there, he hardly wants to look at Jesus again. He doesn't know what he's thinking. And then there's this beautiful personal encounter. It's not, Peter, how could you deny me like that? Not, hey, Peter, you know, you were the rock, but, you know, obviously that's all wrecked now. Now he's just, Peter, do you love me? I mean, that is just the most personal kind of question that any of us could ever be asked. That's not Jesus asking us or Peter, do you believe in me? That's deeper than who do you say that I am? I mean, think of just our own human relations. Those words, I love you. Those are some of the most deeply personal words we could ever say to another human being. And Peter gets to say those words to Jesus, way deeper than you are the Christ, as powerful as that was. Now he says, Lord, you know I love you. Can we really say that? Can we say to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. To be on that kind of a personal level, that is a beautiful gift if we know that we are loved like that and know that we love God. This is the kind of tangible, personal faith that we can share. Someone who's in love, you want to tell everyone about it. Here, let me show you a picture of my wife. Here's a picture of my husband, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. If you're in love, everything seems to flow around that person. Would that our lives could be lived like that, that kind of intimate personal experience with Jesus. Because if we have that, that will set the world on fire. We're meant to then go out. St. Paul the Sixth tells us today, people don't want teachers. They don't listen to teachers so much as they do witnesses. And if they listen to teachers at all, it's only because they're witnesses. You are called to be witnesses, to have a personal, deep encounter with Jesus that is unique to you. The places Jesus was there for you in your sorrows, the place where Jesus was with you in the cause of your joy. Your story is only your story, and you've got to go share that. All of us are here tonight because hopefully we have that deep personal love of Jesus. We pray that with St. Peter tonight, we might be able to say, Lord, you are the Christ, when he asks us, who do you say that I am? But more deeply, that love that obviously inspired Luigi Giussani, that we would be able to say, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. It doesn't get more personal than that.